You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey there, it's Adam. You are tuned into The Conversation, and I hope this finds all of you doing well. As you're hearing this, I am in an RV with my family somewhere on the western side of the United States of America. My wife had a lapse of judgment, and she said yes to getting an RV, and so I rented an RV, and we are on the road. Pray for us. This is either going to be something that we do every summer for the rest of my life, or it will be something that we never do again. But I hope you're having a great summer yourself. Hope you're just spending some time with the people that you love. So today, I was able to connect with Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. Any Destiny's Child fans out there? What's up? I have to confess that I listened to their music for a long, long time. I was grateful for the chance to connect with Michelle. She was super kind, super warm, super friendly, and we hear a part of her story which involves depression and suicidal thoughts. Now, even just for myself, it's easy to look at someone who's famous and someone who's achieved success like Destiny's Child and feel like they have it all figured out. And yet, once again, I'm reminded through Michelle's story that she is human just like all of us. Hey, my two favorite parts, two different times she goes off and just starts speaking words of encouragement. Maybe those are two clips that you need to rewind a couple of times and listen to, specifically if you're struggling to get out of bed in the morning. But I have no doubt that this interview, this time, is going to encourage you. And so, as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Michelle, so excited to have you on The Conversation today. A huge welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me today. What's going on? We checking in, man.
We are. We talked coffee, all things coffee before this for anybody listening.
And you better keep it in the interview.
Yeah, exactly. No, Michelle, so so many people know you for music and what you've done in the past music-wise. But a part of your story is also depression and the battle with depression. And so if you'd share with us that part of your story, maybe early on when you felt like you began to realize like, okay, I'm battling something. I don't even know what it is. If you'd just share that part of your story with us.
Yeah, I would say around the seventh grade when I started kind of noticing some differences, but I chalked it up to like puberty or growing pains or transitioning from elementary to junior high. Like, okay, well, this is what being a teenager is, you know, the early part of it. And so, but I didn't get a diagnosis until I was in my 30s. You know, when you get assessed, they always take you back. And most of the time, they take you back to something in childhood. And so just remembering things in childhood that as a child, you don't know how to process or articulate, especially in certain households, you sweep things under the rug. The environment is not curated where a child can go to parent and say, I feel this way.
Yeah.
But you know what's so crazy? I have some friends now. A friend of mine called and said her son was processing with her how he feels. And he's like five. And I was like, that is so good that he's able to tell you. I think he said he was frustrated or overwhelmed. Whoa. At the age of five. I don't even know if that was in my word bank.
Myself included, I feel like it's taken me to get to 38, 39 before I can actually put into words, but I'll let you keep going though.
So in the seventh grade, depression, that word was not in my word bank. I just was like, only thing I knew was hormone. I knew puberty. I knew this is what I'm going through as a woman. It's hormonal. I give grace to my parents because I'm wondering, they had to have seen me isolating or going in my room or not grades dropping. But sometimes parents might think, this is just what being a teenager is. You know, you teenagers like to stay in your room and be on your, at that time, it was a Nintendo, Sega. We didn't have phones, you know, or you're just, you know, putting your cassettes in on your Walkman with your headphones, not thinking that, man, it could be depression. So in my 30s is when I got a diagnosis, because in my 30s, I began to have reactions or responses to circumstances that were out of character.
Yeah.
What someone might say, over, man, you're overreacting. So by the time someone is overreacting, it's not that one incident. It's been stuff under, layered under that incident that causes that one incident and you just explode.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We get that. But exploding still can defile people around you, can still hurt people around you. Now, the people around you can be understanding, but that doesn't mean you didn't hurt them.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, let me go get some therapy or figure this out. What is it? And it was, in fact, depression and PTSD, actually, as well.
Oh, wow. Michelle, I want to backtrack just a little bit. During your time with Destiny's Child, were you battling depression that whole time through that as well, kind of looking back in hindsight? Because
yeah.
I think oftentimes it's like, oh, I'm battling depression because my life is really not good right now. But I'll never forget a friend of mine had a sold-out show in kind of the venue here locally. His career was up and to the right. And I texted him that night and I said, man, this is awesome. You got a sold out show thousands of miles away from home. And yet in the same breath, I know it can be really, really lonely. And sometimes on the biggest stage, you struggle with stuff off stage even more. And so I just want you to know that I'm cheering you on. And he messaged me back and said, you have no idea right now. Thank you so much for saying that, because I feel so unseen right now. And I have all these battles that I'm facing. So kind of looking back for you during that time in hindsight, share that part.
Well, like I said, since mine started in the seventh grade, it followed me, but it was coming off and on. So I was not depressed my entire duration in Destiny's Child. But I do remember a time where I felt the symptoms coming on and I expressed it to someone in management. And they were like, you've got so much going on for you. You've got a deal. You've got Barbie dolls. Y'all are about to go on tour. And I understand what this man was saying. That's how other people cope. Like, I'm not depressed. I've got good things going on for me.
So
I understand he wanted me to see all the great things. So I give him grace. I'm not even mad at him for saying that.
Yeah.
But when I spoke to him about it in like 2017, and he said, Michelle, had I known that that's what it was, he said, if I had language for it, he said, we definitely would have gotten you some help or some counseling or something. But when you think, you know, performance and success is the balm for depression or grief or whatever it is, of course you tell other people, man, you just got married. Y'all just had a kid. What are you talking about?
Yep.
Y'all just, oh my gosh, you got a New York Times bestseller. Or you just got a promotion on your job. You've been praying for that promotion and you talk about you depressed. People got it worse than you.
Yeah. It's like that's the opposite of what's helpful. Kind of just really quick with that, what in looking back, what do you wish someone would have asked you or told you or done for you in that moment? Not as someone who's famous, whatever,
yeah,
but just as a human being. Is there anything that comes to mind you're like, gosh, if I have a friend who's struggling and is saying saying things, what would you prefer that you hear?
You know, there was one woman in church. This is before Destiny's Child or anything. This is when I think I was struggling in that area of depression. She saw me in the spirit. It was like she saw, but I didn't know what to think of it. And then at that time, I'm like, you're not going to speak depression over me. Because sometimes when you're dealing with a public figure, like there's a friend of mine that I always try to make sure that I'm praying so that I don't let their success blind me to their heart and what's really going on.
Yes.
So basically what I'm saying is I wish people would have saw me in the spirit and not lights, camera, action or money or access. People can be like, I know you're doing this, but God still has other great things for you. I know you're doing this, but the Lord wants you to know he loves you. And there were a few people, I'll say there were a few people that be like, you know, God wants you to know he loves you and that he is pleased. Because there were moments where I was worried, like, should I be singing pop music? Should I be? So there were people in that area encouraging me like, no, you're good. All is well.
Yeah.
So there were a few, but there are some people that I was like, I was looking to them to like see me more in the spirit and not because of fame.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's so good. And one of the things that I've been trying to do in my own life with different people, whether you're a successful CEO, you're working at a cashier, whatever you are, I've just tried to take the extra little like half second of time just to look the person and just ask, hey, how are you doing today?
Yes.
And not how are you doing, Mr. Successful CEO or whatever, like, but no, like how are you in here? And I never cease to be amazed by how in that moment, the person immediately becomes human. It's like they go from being a robot to human. And it's just like, and it's a breath of fresh air of just saying, hey, thank you so much for seeing me, like not from wanting something from me, not from whatever, seeing me as a project of some kind, but thank you just for seeing me. And there's power just in doing that. Michelle, you're kind of in your 30s at this time. Like, was there a rock bottom for you? And what did that part look like around depression?
Yeah, there was a portion where depression just kind of, you know, twice. 2012 and then the next time in 2018 to the top of 2019 where depression just swallowed me up. So for me, it looks like I can't get out of bed. I'm so heavy. It's like I've got a weighted blanket on me, which is so crazy because I sleep with weighted blankets.
I literally have a weighted blanket, but I also, my soul feels like it has one.
It has, you know, I love those things. They're amazing. No interest in life and things, feeling totally hopeless. So rock bottom was when I was beginning to question my existence and having a conversation with God saying, you know, God, I've done enough. I've lived a good life. I'm ready to go. And this when I started contemplating how I'm going to take my life and what the funeral is going to look like. Like, down to the flowers I wanted. White orchids. Now, I still want white orchids, but 80 years from now.
At this point, when you're at this moment, Michelle, would anybody have known this?
No, because I was working and I told a makeup artist. And so I'll fast forward to 2018. I told a makeup artist, I was on the set of Raven's Home, a Disney series. And I remember being on the set of Raven's Home, talking to the makeup artist, because it was taking everything in me just to get out of bed and show up, you know. And I told her what was going on. She told me her story. And so I got through the day. I think the next day I didn't show up to work. I think I didn't show up And I had called my therapist and we began to look at treatment facilities for me because I was too comfortable with the thoughts of suicide.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've got to go get some help. I've got to at least go somewhere and get stable and feel safe again.
Yeah. So you took that step. What things were helpful for you to come out of depression, knowing that it's still a part of who you are?
Yeah. What was helpful was just the processing, getting down to the root of things, because everything has a root, even if it was chemically related. Yeah. I want to know what it is. You know, I know depression runs in my family, you know, and so it's kind of getting to the root. Okay, well, what's the root of that? Are there certain needs that went unmet? You know, what is it? And so we began to figure that thing out. And once we got to the root of everything, it's like, okay, I'm having trouble wondering if it's something I have to cope with or is it something I can overcome? Coping means it's with me like I'm wearing it. Yeah. So I'm having to this day, I'm having a hard time, like, you know, but I know a couple of weeks ago when I was starting to feel overwhelmed and but it felt similar to depression. What did I do? Call my therapist if we had a session. So I just began to explain to her what was going on. She said, no, you're feeling pressure. You got a book coming out. And so I'm learning how to assess what it is quicker so that I'm not in the bed for weeks at a time. Because depression is a thief. It robs you of joy. It robs you of relationship. And it robs you of productivity. So if we can kind of beat it while we're feeling it, like, nope, I'm getting out this bed. Not only am I going to get out the bed, I'm going to make my bed. Because I'm not going to get back in this bed after I've made it up. After I put all these 80 pillows back in here. At least I'm going to sit on the sofa. Or I'm going to go on my patio and drink coffee. I'm going to do things around the house. I'm going to pray. When I feel heavy, there are certain times, I don't know why I feel heavy. It could be because someone is on my heart, literally. So I just begin to pray. Begin to worship. And that before you know it, it will lift. It's not easy. The easiest thing for me to do is get back in the bed. That's the easiest thing. But you're not going to rob me of my joy and my day and my productivity by being in the bed. And you're not going to rob me of taking a shower because depression will make you stink. Because there are days when you lie in the bed for days, you can't even get up and brush your teeth. So what I began to do is one time my physician was like, hey, if you can get out the bed, go brush your teeth. Even if you got to get back into bed. Okay, so now you brush your teeth. Can you get out the bed, brush your teeth, take a shower? Start building on your productivity. Now it's brush your teeth, shower, or brush your teeth, drink coffee, or get out the bed, get your coffee, then brush your teeth after you drink the coffee. It's like, what can you do to take literally one step or do one thing at a time? I don't let things pile up in my home. Now I have books from HarperCollins for my books, but I don't let things pile up. I don't let the dishes pile up. I don't let my room, I don't let things do that. I don't let that happen. But it's difficult. But I'm saying all these things because I'm hoping someone listening is like, I feel what she's saying. There are times I don't want to get up. Get up, honey. Get up and do one thing. Don't feel like you have to take on the entire world. Now, there are people who it's like, even when you have a husband and children, you're just kind of going through the motions. Be intentional about being present and like, God, I thank you. I thank you that I get to, you know, get my kids up for school. I'm thankful that I get a husband to serve or a wife to serve and provide for. I'm thankful that I can, you know, and God, you know, I know you're going to lift this heaviness. I know you're with me. I know you're guiding me. I'm okay. You know, and just to know too, the enemy does his job, steal, kills, and destroy. But God comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So that's how I attack certain thoughts that come into my mind as well. Are they life-giving or are they stealing, killing, or destroying?
Oh, that's good. So your book, Checking In, it's out for people to get. Tell us, what's your hope and takeaway from this book?
Ooh, my hope and takeaway is that I've given people some language. I've given people some hope and inspiration. And literally, it's corny, but like, yo, you're not alone. Like, I get it. You know, given scripture. And like I said, just take hold of the word and just know that you're going to make it.
That's good. So I want to read this quote that I thought was so powerful and you just shared, God has shown me time and time again that my failure to check in with myself always leads to some sort of emotional outburst that damages or ends a relationship. I think that's true, whether it's for anybody, whether you battle depression or not, that right there will save you so much pain and heartache and brokenness. Michelle, if you'd want to share, where did that come from in you, and what's the remedy to that?
Ooh, well, the remedy to that, well, first of all, is like I was saying earlier, what depression can do, and when it goes untreated, when it goes unchecked, for whatever reason, pride, fear, what are people going to say about me? How much more do you want to lose? How much more? How much more do you want to lose? Do you want to be alone for the rest of your life? Do you really want people to be like, mm-mm, here she comes? Mm-mm. No, you want people to be like, even with what she's been going through, even what he's been battling, we're going to love you through it. Because people are people.
Yep.
Even saved, whatever. People are people. I don't want to be around somebody that just sucks the life out of me. Even though God doesn't get tired of extending grace to us, sometimes you get tired of extending grace. Like, bro, come on. Get it together. But you know what it is? It's easier to just stay in your dysfunction. It's overwhelming to think of the work that it takes to be whole. It's easier to stay wounded. Maybe you get more sympathy and attention that way. Well, that's an unmet need from childhood.
Practically speaking, how do you check in on yourself?
For me, it looks like, so a minimum of 3 times a day. When I wake up in the morning, how am I doing? How am I feeling? I should be feeling great because of how I went to bed that night. So checking in with myself, really assessing, okay, how are you really doing? You okay? Are you overwhelmed? Are you feeling any sadness, anxiousness, gratitude? Okay. And then checking in with others, that the other pillar is checking in with others, being able to say, hey, do you have the emotional capacity to hear me out on my day or something that I've been processing? Okay. Because you have to make sure that other person is okay to hear what you're just don't go calling somebody rambling. Okay. Hey, do you have time? What you doing right now? Do you have the capacity to listen? Cool. And then also checking in with them to see how they're doing, checking in with others. Okay. Yep. Checking in with God is simply, God, it could be gratitude, thankfulness, or God, I'm overwhelmed. I need your peace. I need you to saturate me with joy and peace. And I need you, God, I'm checking in. Those are the three pillars. Think of it as a tripod where you put your ring light on. If one of those legs is uneven or whatever, the whole thing falls over. Or think of it as a three-legged stool, a chair. You know, when one of those legs are off, the chair is wobbly. It's unstable. You can't put pressure on it. So I look at it. I look at that. No, I put pressure on me. So when you press me, you'll see what comes out. Grace will come out. Understanding will come out. Wisdom will come out on how to respond to the pressure. You know, but it takes consistent work, you know, consistent honesty with where you are as well. And knowing that it's okay. I pray that people have a safe person to go to or text and say, hey, we don't have to talk, but just send a prayer up for me. You know, that's it. And encouraging people to go get some counseling and therapy. It is okay. I quote Dr. Anita Phillips every day. She says, prayer is a weapon. Therapy is a strategy.
Yeah.
You can do both. You can have Jesus in your life and you can go get therapy. You can have marriage in your life. Because your husband, wife can't be everything. They can't be the counselor and therapist too.
Yeah, that's
they can help. They can listen and give you perspective. But maybe like, man, maybe I should go get some therapy. And it's okay. Men, it's okay. Your greatest strength is saying you need help. That's the greatest thing you can do. Man, y'all don't like to get help for directions, whether it's putting together a bookshelf or going across town. You need directions. You don't want nobody to help you. You know, I get it.
I met with a couple yesterday and I mentioned the impact that counseling has had on me. And the wife was immediately like, that's what you should do. That's what you should do. And you could just tell he was like, oh my gosh, what is going on right now? And so it was kind of neat though. Later on in the conversation, he ended up saying, because I just shared about the impact it's had on me and the blessing it's been to me. At the very end, he said, can I get that person's number? And I said, yes. And I can't encourage you enough to do so, you know. And you could tell his wife was like doing like victory laps in her heart. But it's so important to have that. And for me, what you said, checking in. So during the summertime, I don't have to drop my kids off at school. So I'm able to leave. And I've been doing this the last 2-3 weeks now. I've just been going for 45 minutes to start my morning. It ends up being the highlight of my day. Of just being still, being quiet, which I'm not good at. I'm constantly going, doing, driven, all this kind of thing. But I can tell without question the days that I haven't done a good job of checking in with myself.
Yeah.
Of just processing, like, what are you feeling? Okay, you're feeling tired right now, or you're angry because this person sent this email or did that. Okay, it's all right to be angry about that. But
now that's where we got to talk about.
Yeah.
Anger and sadness, frustration, those are natural responses to circumstance. So, and it's okay to feel your feelings. Like, I'm angry right now. Like you said, this email really, why would you send me this email first thing in the morning? You didn't check in with you and God. Why would you? Because if you checked in, your spirit would have said, don't send that or send it another way. Don't use that language. You can say what you need to say, but say it another way. So you're or the spirit might say, don't send it at all.
That's so good. Last thing I want to get to, your relationship with Jesus. Has that always been a part of who you are? What are you learning right now? Just share that part of who you are, Michelle.
Absolutely. My faith, you know, when everything around you seems like it's crumbling, the foundation of faith is there. It's solid. Yeah. Oh, it's solid. And that's how I'm here today, literally alive to tell the story.
Yeah. Well, thank God for that. Michelle, grateful again for the time with you. Her new book, Checking In, go get a copy for yourself, for a friend. Michelle, on behalf of everybody who's listening to this, just a huge thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.